Tonight we're going to talk about the Word. It was funny, Pastor Chris asked me to speak for him about 3 weeks ago. And I had this sermon on my heart probably past 4 months. And then all of a sudden, right after he asked me, the next thing I know, he's talking about the Word. And then the next week, he's talking about the Word. And then it's like, we always do that. But it's just weird timing. And like I said, I've had this on my heart for a while. And I'm like, this is what God wanted me to bring forth tonight. We just sang about hungry and how we need to be hungry for God. And it's, you know, it says in the Bible, we need to hunger and thirst for God. And what does that mean? I mean, how any of us really felt hunger, like, you know, or thirst? You know, we might have felt like, oh, we missed a meal, so we're hungry. But are we ever been hungry? I've been on a fast before, and I've only went like 3.5 days, and that was, I was hungry then. But can you imagine some of these third world countries that really hunger? You know, can you imagine being lost in the woods for a couple of days and you haven't had a drop of water? That's what it means by hunger and thirst. You know, and we need to hunger and thirst for all parts of God. And that's why we're talking about the Word tonight. We need to be hungry for God's Word. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16 says, and I read from the New International Version, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from you, your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to just be with us tonight, as you have already been, Lord, that you open up our hearts and our minds and our lives to what you gave to me, Lord, to give each one here, Lord. Help us to have a stronger desire, a stronger love for the Word, Lord, than we ever have before, Lord, so that we could dive deeper into you, Lord. And I just ask you to bless us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, where am I? I just lost my... Okay, hold on. Technical difficulties again. Just jumped on me. Technology, right? Okay. No way. Okay. So I'm going to jump. Okay, here we go. Recently, I read a survey that kind of bothered me that was posted on Facebook. You know, some of the stuff on Facebook is true. So, but this was one thing that it was just, it really bothered me. BBC, which is from England, had a new poll that was taken right before Easter, and it found that fewer than half Christians in the UK, which is 46%, believe that Jesus died and rose again for the forgiveness of their sins. So the key word there is Christians. Fewer than half the Christians in the UK, 46%, believe that Jesus died and rose for the forgiveness of the sin. Shouldn't all Christians believe that? That's what it's all about. It's because of the lack of the, you know, word. We're just kind of, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But a BBC radio program that aired that Sunday said the old online poll was taken early in March and surveyed 2,000 British adults. And who claim to be Christians. And to me, that just really bothered me. The program added that according to the poll, 82% of Christians who attend worship service for at least once a month overwhelmingly believe that the Easter story is true. So that's two different polls there. And then the last poll said a similar poll that was taken 2 years ago says a quarter of the survey respondents who identify as Christians say they don't believe in Christ's resurrection, but 57% of what they call active Christians who attend the church at least once a month believe resurrection took place. That just bothers me. That just really bothers me. And I see the Bible just getting so watered down these days. So I went from like really bad news to I got some funny stuff, I hope. These Bible riddles, I found them, I thought they were kind of cute. Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? It was Noah, because he was floating his stock while everybody was in liquidation. If anybody has me on Facebook, I post a lot of these really corny jokes. Not these, but who's the greatest female financier in the Bible? Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a little profit. What kind of man was Boaz before he was married? Someone has to get this one. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? He was ruthless. For those who don't know, Boaz and Ruth were married. So, what kind of motor vehicles are in the Bible? I knew about this one. Honda. Because the disciples were all in one accord. I knew that one. That was another motor vehicle. Jehovah drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in a fury. And that's for those of us that are older that know what the fury is. Nice car. David's triumph was heard throughout the land. So, British car. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson. He brought down the house. Where was the first baseball game in the Bible? It said in the beginning, in the big inning, Eve sold first, Adam sold second, and the prodigal son came home. What was one of the first things Adam and Eve did when they were kicked out? They raised Cain. And the last one, you probably think, thank goodness. What excuse did Adam give his children as why he was no longer able to live in Eden? He said, your mother ate us out of house and home. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 22. Oh, you're kidding me. All right, you got it up there. Documents. All right, be doers of the word and not only hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who is beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgotteth what manner of a man he was. Basically, the verse says, you know, just don't listen to the word, but we're supposed to do it. It was kind of like we look in the mirror and see ourselves, and then we leave and we totally forgot, you know, what we're doing, you know, what our face even looks like. You know, we don't just listen to the Bible, and that's it. You know, you could listen to a lot, but we need to let the Bible influence us. I'm guilty, as a lot of you are, maybe, about not getting into Word as much as we need to get into the Word. I was traveling back from West Virginia today, and I have a Bible app that I'll talk about a little later, but I was listening to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is like 176 verses, I think, And it took a long time. But there's a narrator that reads it out. I actually listened to it 3 times because it's so intense there. But it's so incredible. Point number one is that the Bible's amazing. When I was a youth pastor back in the 90s, the second church I was a youth pastor at, we did Bible Jeopardy. We had like a buzzer system. I don't even know where it came from, but we had a buzzer system that 4 buzzers. So we would play. I would actually teach the Bible. I would teach a book, who wrote the book, when it was written, who it was written to, some key things about that. And then I would set up a Jeopardy board, and we would go through just like they do on Jeopardy, and we would ask the question. And they would buzz in, and then we'd play, and then I would add more to it in further ones, but we would actually repeat them again. So they were getting these questions and answers many, many times. So a lot of, during that time, I just learned a lot that even I didn't know. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I went to Bible college. I was a youth pastor and I was a pastor, and some of the stuff that I learned, you know, I didn't really know, you know, and I was kind of ashamed. But the Bible's amazing. There's translations to paraphrases, and we make sure if you do get a Bible, you try to get a translation. Paraphrases get that translation and tries to reword it, but it loses a lot of the meanings. King James is a translation. The NIV that I use is a translation. There's 66 books written about by approximately 40 authors. There's some books that they're not exactly sure who wrote them, but they have some ideas. And it was written over a 1,500-year period. And that during that time, the theme was Jesus. Old Testament was pointing to Jesus. New Testament was about Jesus and about and pointing us to Jesus' second coming. And it's amazing that that theme throughout the Bible, you look at, in high school, I did a research paper on the typology of the tabernacle. And every single, and I know pastors talked about this too, every single part of the tabernacle, the building of it, and the, every single part of the, even the outer gates and everything, represented Jesus in a certain way. And it was really awesome. To learn all that. I was supposed to do a 12-page paper, and I ended up doing an 18-page paper. So I got an A on it, and I didn't think I did that much, but I just got so into it, you know, that it was incredible. The Gospels, that this is one thing I learned back when I was a youth pastor, the Gospels were written by 4 different people. Initially, we think, growing up, that they were all 4 disciples, and they weren't disciples. They were all apostles, but they weren't disciples. You know, Matthew and John were disciples, you know, the original disciples, where Mark and Luke weren't. And if you look, you probably wonder why sometimes, why is there 4 different Gospels? Because they almost seem to say the same thing. The first 3 are called Synoptic Gospels, and they kind of mirror each other, where John kind of goes a different direction. But Matthew wrote it to the Jews, and his theme is Jesus is Messiah. Mark wrote it to the Romans, and he was kind of showing that Jesus was the Son of Man, or Son of God. And then Luke wrote it to the Greeks and said that he was the Son of Man, because if you look at the Romans, they had many, many gods. That's why Mark wrote, you know, about the Son of God, proved that. And Luke was a Greek. He was actually born a Greek and raised a Greek. John wrote it to all mankind and wrote, basically, Jesus is for everyone. So when I've been in the past, if anybody's ever asked me, where should I start in the Bible? Start in John. You know. So that's why there's differing events in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about different things. In one version, it says that there was 1 guard at the tomb. Another version says there were 2 guards at the tomb. Not that really big of a deal, you know, because it depends on who's, you know, if you and I saw the same thing, went back and told somebody, one might say 1 guard, one might say 2 guards. So the important stuff was all there. And the neat thing was, since Matthew was writing to the Jews, his genealogy was from Abraham, to Mary, basically to Jesus. So he was showing that Jewish lineage, where Luke was started actually with Joseph, who wasn't really Jesus' earthly, biological father. He was his earthly father. And then went back to Adam, because, again, he was writing to the Greeks, and he was just showing, hey, he's this son of man. You know, he's Adam was number one. So it was really interesting to see that and know all that. A lot of us think that Psalms was written by David, where most of it was, but a lot of it was written by the sons of Korah and Asaph and some other people. So the Bible, if we really get into it, it's really amazing. You know, and it's just incredible the things that we can learn if we really get into it. I had a Bible that it fell apart on me years ago that had the study notes on the Bible are on the bottom. And I love that thing. Point number two is the Word or the Bible is forever eternal. And I mentioned about that before. Today, the Word gets so watered down, and then people are trying to get the Word and change it and say, well, the Word's really not, the Bible's not for today. And it is. You know, we just have to realize it. You know, Jesus said, I'm the same today, forever. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Bible is the same thing. You know, it doesn't change. It is what we need to go by and dive into. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 14:21 says, whoever keeps my commands and has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be the one loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And as I said earlier, people throughout the years have twisted the Bible to kind of justify their sins. You know, hey, well, the Bible sort of says this, and they get a little bit of this verse, and a little bit of this verse, and a little bit of this verse, and we could almost say that we could be a mass murderer if you do that. You know, you could do that with anything. And, you know, but you have to look at the context. You can't just get one verse and make a religion out of it. You know, but you have to see the context of how it's written and everything. And we can't use the Word wrongly by getting what we want to do. People also ignore what the Bible says and just do what they want. Point number three is the love for the Bible and the Word. If we love God, we should love the Bible. And that hit me when I saw that quote. If you love God, we should love the Bible. And we love the Bible, but do we really get into the Word like we're supposed to? I have three big hobbies. I mean, playing music and, you know, also, so, you know, I love that. But my big hobbies are NFL football. A lot of you know that, especially when I wear my Green Bay Packer coat most of the time. I love football. I read about football. Every day I'm looking at the news of what's happening in football that day. I watched, you know, followed the first round of the draft. I was really into it. I also have a Facebook page about Christian music that I've been trying to build up, because I try to find some of these artists that are out there in the different genres of Christian music, and I check them out, and it's these people who are not well known, and then I kind of sort of promote them through my Facebook page, trying to get other people, because I want to share what I like. So, and then fireworks. Most of you who know me knows I have a passion for fireworks, because that's what I do for a living, and that's where I came back from last night. But I love those things, and I put a lot of time into those things. And do we put time into the Word like those things? You know, do we put enough time into, God. I live for God. I know I live for God, and I'm a Christian, and I love Him, and I try to share God with others, and go to church, and but do we really read enough? Do we, study the Word enough? Do we pray enough? 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "Whoever says to him, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person. And if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in him." Love for the Bible. Where do we love the Bible that much? If we love God, we should love the Bible. Point 4. The Bible is our daily guidebook, our instructional guide. When we don't know what to do, we should pray first thing, but get into the Word. Check out the Word. And before I continue, I kind of missed this point. But if you ever see me or my wife or Dan over there while pastor's preaching looking at our phones, it's because we're following along in a Bible app. And I just wanted to share that this is really interesting. This is where what I listened to today on the way home. The voice sounds like Anthony Hopkins. I have no idea. I doubt if it is Anthony Hopkins. You can get this Bible app. You can get it on your computer. You can get it on your phone. And it's free. And make sure you get the right one. And then it has King James, NIV. It has tons of versions on it. And it is, the voice sounds like Anthony Hopkins, not necessarily Anthony Hopkins from Silence of the Lambs. I've actually never seen it. But it just sounds like really cool. But I don't think that's who it is. But
blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways.
And that's, if you highlight, I have it in black with white. You don't have to have it in, you have it with white background with black writing. You can actually highlight these, almost like you would get a hybrid yellow highlighter, and you can highlight it, and you got plans, Bible plans here, and there's notes in here. Study guides. It's really cool. So if you have, if you don't want to carry your Bible while you're, going to work or whatever, you forget it, the app is really cool. But I encourage you to do that. 2 Timothy, again, the Bible is our daily guide or an instructional guide. 2 Timothy verses, or chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that a servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that kind of says it all. It's useful as teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. While we're reading the Bible, it should sometimes encourage, but sometimes it may jab us in the side and say, yeah, what about that in your life? What about this in your life? And I'm not saying the Word of God is a downer, because basically it's work through the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we need correction. But it does give the encouragement too. It gives us knowledge, and you can read the Bible, and that's one thing about the Bible. Here it says it's God breathed, but it's a living Word. You read it one time, and then you can read it again, and you can read it again, and that third time, you could be getting a third thing of what that one verse or one passage said. And I'm like, or you can hear someone preaching, and they're like, and you're like, hold it. I've read that thing probably 5 times in my life, and I never really thought about it that way. And when I've listened to this guy on the Bible app, just because of how he says stuff, it kind of draws it out, because he almost sounds like he's, talking. I mean, he's very narrating in a great, voice. And the way he does it brings it out. And I'm like, oh, wow. I've heard myself say it in my head while I'm reading. But when I hear it said out loud, it's like, oh, it's incredible. And number five, the Bible is our weapon. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the Word of God is alive and active, like I said, living, the living Word, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I just mentioned that when we're reading the Bible, sometimes it might jab us a little bit, but swords are always not necessarily for bad stuff. It's sometimes for good stuff. You know, we're at war with Satan. Christians are at war with Satan. Satan's fine with you if you're not getting into the Word and you're not praying and not doing these things and think, oh, he has you where he wants you. But once we start getting into these things, it's like, hold it, why is it getting a little bit harder, you know, at this? I'm getting a little more fights here. Because Satan doesn't want you to get into the Word. Satan doesn't want you to pray. Satan doesn't want you to witness more or whatever. You know, we have to realize we're, you know, at war, so again, the Bible is a weapon. When Jesus was being tempted 40 days in the wilderness, what did he use to counteract Satan? He used the Word of God. Satan said, hey, what about this? And Jesus said, hey, what about this? I was watching the movie, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was the movie that just came on TV that was about Jesus' life. It was new this year. And it would actually show a little bit of Jesus' life, and then you would have commentators or pastors come on and talk about that section that just came up. And it was interesting at one point, but I didn't like how it portrayed Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus physically was weak because he had been, you know, he was fasting. So it wasn't like he could go run a marathon at that point. You know, it wasn't like he was, you know, really ready to be active. But when Satan came and confronted Jesus and said, hey, I give you this, you know, what about this? And it showed Jesus, you know, in almost a weak mental state, and then all of a sudden Jesus would then jab at, you know, with the words and kind of counteract him with the Bible. And I don't think that was the way Jesus was. I think Jesus, when he spoke, and he might have said, yeah, well, why are you doing this to me type of deal? But then, you know, he was confident. And it didn't show that. When we're going to war, we need to be confident. When we go against Satan, we need to be confident. We have to know the Word of God so we can use that Word as a sword against Satan so we can live a victorious life. I mean, that's what God wants for us. That's why Christ died for us, so we can live a victorious life. You know, and that's why God has given us the Word. You know, that's why, again, Christ died for us, so we can live a victorious life. So, if we're truly hungry and thirsty for God, are we in prayer? Are we into the Word? Again, I'm guilty of this. You could come up with excuses and say, I don't have time for it. But I know when I try to work out, if I don't really want to work out, I most of the time don't work out. But then when I'm like, I really want to work out, unless something really important comes up, I'm trying to work out. You know, it's the same thing with losing weight, you know, or whatever else, that, you know, in my case, losing weight. If I really want to lose weight, I can lose weight. But we come up with all these excuses. If we want to get closer to God, let's not make excuses and say, I want to get into the Word. You know, whether while you're driving your 5 minute to 10 minute to 20 minute work, listen to the Word, you know, in the in your car. Or, you know, if you have a job that you can listen to the Bible, listen to it. You may not hear everything it says while you're working, you know, or even while you're driving, because that's another reason I played Psalm 119 three times, because, you know, I'm driving a big truck, you know, that, you know, I had to pay attention to the traffic and stuff. But I listened to it three times, and I'm like, each time, again, it was 176 verses, but I got something, you know, each time. I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that last time. But, you know, we need to get in Word of God. Are we hungry for Him? We love Him. We should love the Bible. And if we love the Bible, we should be getting into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to just be with us tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the Word that you gave to us. Thank you for the Word, Lord, that here in America we still have access to the Word in many different forms, Lord, and that we sometimes just let it sit around, Lord. And I apologize, Lord, for that. And I just ask you to help me, help each one here, Lord, to just get into the Word of God and just to know you better, to know you stronger, to draw closer to you. Let us have the hunger and the thirst for things of you, Lord, so that we can live the victorious life that you want us to live, Lord. And we just ask you to be with each one here as they go their separate ways, and just let them be blessed, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.